Today's scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. Walking in the light. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather here once again, to hear your word, Lord, to be surrounded by fellow believers, Lord, and to uplift your name. Be with us, Lord. Allow us, Lord, to hear the message and to accept it in our hearts, Lord, and that it may resonate in our lives, that your word may resonate in our lives, Lord, and that we may be guided by your word day and night, Lord, and for the rest of the week. We pray this in your most gracious name. Amen.
I don't know exactly how many years ago, but Terry Fox, a young man, had a dream, or had a purpose, or had a goal. His goal was to help those who are suffering from cancer to be able to find a cure so they can be healed. So that was a dream, and that was a desire, and yet that wasn't enough for him. He started walking from one end of Canada to the other, and he put his words into practice. He actually walked his talk. And he has been remembered and will be remembered for a long time because not only he had a message, not only he had a desire, but he put into practice what his desire was all about. Actually, Apostle Paul said, and he compared a follower of Christ with a marathon runner running to reach the goal, the finish line. He talked about running the race. Now, on the other hand, Jesus invited people to walk with him. Jesus said to those who believed him, "Come and follow me." Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Following was his message at this point. Jesus was asking his disciples and everyone who believed in him to follow him. Joshua said to his people, "Be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to obey his commands, to hold fast to him and to serve him with all your heart and your soul." In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, we read, "If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." Long time ago, I had watched a movie, The Student Prince. I don't know how many were born in 1956, I believe, when this was done, but I was. And I remember listening to Mario Lanza singing a song that has stayed in my mind for a long time. And I'll read the words he sang. I wish I could sing it like him, or even come close to his singing. And it says, I walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I will lean upon. This is my prayer, my humble plea. May the Lord be ever with me. There is no death, though eyes grow dim. There is no fear when I am near to him. I'll lean on him forever, and he will forsake me never. He will not fail me as long as my faith is strong. Whatever road I may walk alone, I'll walk with God. I'll take his hand. I'll talk with God, he'll understand. I'll pray to him each day to him. And he will hear the words that I say. His hand will guide my throne and the road. And I will never walk alone while I walk with God. The person who believes in God and wants to find peace and salvation must follow his instructions, the Bible says. It's one thing to say I'm a Christian. It's one thing to say I'm a born again, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and sing loudly and preach loudly and walk up and down my world, whatever people do to impress others that they are Christians. But unless we follow Christ, and because I've been repeating this mantra, some people may say, follow Christ, it has become my message to me, first of all, that we should all follow Christ in his footsteps. The person who believes in God and wants to find peace and salvation must follow him. The first verse of the book of Psalms starts with the words, blessed is the man who does what? Talks a lot or prays a lot? No, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You know, this sounds very good, and yet we don't have time to meditate day and night. We work, we study, we go to school, we are too busy. We have to raise kids, or we have to do this and the other. And yet, meditating does not mean you stop working. And meditating or walking for Jesus or following Jesus does not mean you stop going to school. It does not mean you talk to your wife or husband. It does not mean you stop talking to your children or to your parents. It means whatever you do, whatever I do, is walking in the footsteps or footprints of Jesus Christ. It is not enough to say, I'm a Christian. I teach Sunday school. I'm a pastor or an elder. And then start quoting the Bible and walk and talk about your doctrine. These things actually may even turn off the other person. People may look and listen to your life rather than your talk about your faith and God. You can talk the walk, but can you walk the talk? Jesus said, by their fruit you will recognize him. Matthew 7:16. I'm sure most of you have heard the expression, practice what you preach, or back up what you say with your actions. If you and I want to make a difference in the lives of others, we must walk the talk. Those around you may not be interested in your religion or faith or even your church, but when you walk the walk, but if you walk the talk, they will pay attention to your walk and ask you about the secret of your life and walk. You know, when you come to church, you expect me to get up and preach. And if I'm late, you say, where is he? If you come to church, you expect your brothers and sisters to act properly and to say the right things. We use a lot of phrases like praise the Lord, thank God, and I've been blessed and all that. But are you using the same phrases at work, at school? Are you telling others that you are protected from God? Is your life reflecting what in your heart, I hope? That's what Jesus emphasized, said, follow me. I'm sure most of you have heard the expression, but have we practiced it? Those around you may not be interested in your doctrines, but they will be interested in your life. Three words describe the true follower of Christ: profession, Christian testimony; progression, Christian walk; perfection, Christian life. Profession. 1 John 2:6 says, Whoever claims to live in him. We are to give testimony of our faith. Believe and confess, the Bible says. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, testimony is very important. We not often enough, and we should be doing this more often, ask people to give their testimonies, either in the temple news or when we have praise lunch or whatever, at the Bible studies. And testifying is very important. As a matter of fact, a judge or a jury cannot convict anyone unless there is enough evidence. And the evidence obviously comes either from the things that they collect or gather from the crime scene, or the witnesses that have witnessed what has happened. So the witnesses have a testimony to give, what they have seen, what they've heard. And I believe we are his witnesses, God's witnesses. And people need to hear what has happened in our life. And because something has happened in our life, things are happening in the lives of others. You cannot and you must not keep your salvation secret, because that is not what the Bible says, and that's not what the Bible, God expects you from to do. Baptism is another thing. Baptism is a public testimony of the inner change and a symbol of our death to sin and our resurrection to a new life. Now, I know that people are confused. When I was a little baby, my parents going to a particular church where infant baptism was practiced and not adult baptism, baptized me and my sister as babies. Now, they thought that was the right thing to do, because that would mean that I had become a Christian. But believe it or not, at that age, I had no idea about anything at all, let alone God and becoming a Christian. But when I became old enough, at the age of 16, I was 12 when I accepted the Lord. And at the age of 16, I said to myself, I'm reading the Bible, and I see that Jesus at the age of 30 was baptized. And then I saw what was happening with the Ethiopian and with all the others who came to John the Baptist. They were asking to be baptized. What was the purpose? What was the reason? And I realized that the Bible is very clear. It's an outward expression of the inward change that has taken place. And the Ethiopian was a very important man in Ethiopia, and yet he did not consider it humbling to be baptized, to ask to be baptized. And Jesus, being God, holy, pure. He was not a Gentile, he was not a pagan, he was not an unbeliever that had become a believer, and yet he was baptized. And if God expects us to do it, why wouldn't we do it? And if Jesus asked us to do it, because we read in Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew, chapter 28, that says, Jesus, the great commission, said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and tell them to do whatever I have said. So that is, again, a profession. Our Christian walk should shows our priorities, family, church, life. We are to be his witnesses all the time. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That was the first P, profession. The second P is progression. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, again, still in the same verse, same sentence actually, almost, says, must walk as Jesus did. Must walk as Jesus did. Believers are people on the move. Now, the believer who says, I have become a believer and I want to opt out, or I want to get out of this sinful, corrupt world and goes to into a convent or a monastery, is breaking God's law, actually. Because God says he wants us to be on the move and not to lock ourselves into a situation where we think we are protected from evil, but we are not. Our walk must confirm our talk. Our walk must reflect Christ's presence in our life. How should we walk then? First, I have six things about walking. Walk decently. And I have six verses I would like to share with you this morning. Walk decently. Romans 13 says, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Again, all these things will indicate whether we are following Christ, we are walking toward the goal, or we are walking away, or we have stopped walking altogether. Number two, walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. We often say it's difficult to be a Christian. It's very difficult to do this. It is difficult to forgive. It is difficult to love. It is difficult to abstain from things that give pleasure to the body. I believe the worst thing a Christian can do is justify a sin. And sometimes we justify a sin by saying, well, I'm only human. My flesh desires it. I have a craving for this, and God understands. Well, again, God also understands that you can say no. God understands that you may suffer a little bit to give up something that has destroyed you and your family. It could be a habit. It could be being a slave to some habit or something that has destroyed your life or is about to destroy your life. Yes, it is difficult, and yet when we walk in the Spirit, when we are the property of God, when the Holy Spirit is in our life, then he will be the one to help us overcome these temptations. Number three, walk in love. And Ephesians 5:2, we read, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in love. Again, we've been discussing this morning in our adult class, to love the person who is likable, lovable, or very close to us, and we get something out of giving love. It's easy. Even the Bible says even heathen people, people who don't know God, can love their own kind. But to love the person who is next to you and gets to your nerves, it takes a lot of help. We need help from the Holy Spirit. To love someone who has plotted to take away your job, or is trying to take away your job, or to make you look silly, or it's not easy. The person who insults you and your family, to love, it's not easy. And yet, when God takes over your will and God takes over your heart and your mind, we'll help you deal with that. Number 4 says, walk carefully. In Ephesians 5:15, we read, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Now, wisdom does not come from going to school or getting a few degrees. Wisdom is not knowledge, head knowledge. Wisdom is to know when not to say anything. Wisdom is not to follow someone. Wisdom is to follow someone. All these are parts of our life that are usually controlled by ourselves. And yet if we surrender them to God, God will help us to decide who to follow, who not to follow, what to say and what not to say. Number 5 is walk in faith. Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Now, continue to live here means continue to walk this walk. Obviously, when I say, let's follow Christ, there's no Christ here in the body. We cannot follow him. We cannot see him. And if you say, okay, I'm going to follow the pastor, boy, you are in trouble, because the pastor may fall and you fall with him. And if you say, I'm going to follow this great evangelist or speaker, you may get into bigger trouble. But if you follow Christ, God himself, you can never, never fall. And if you fall, he's there to pick you up. Walk in faith. And finally, verse 6, walk wisely. Now, be wise, and I'm reading from Colossians 4:5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. It says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Now, to be wise, as I said, is not to be smart, or to pretend to be smart, or to have knowledge. Someone may say, well, I've been to 2,000 Bible studies, I've had those degrees, I have this, and I know what I'm talking about. And unless God is speaking through you, you may say the wrong things and mislead someone. So we have to be very careful. Then the third is perfection. Now, obviously, you'll say, no one is perfect, and that's so true. And yet, there are things that we read in the Bible. It says, as Jesus did, perfection. The last statement in that one verse is, first was, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And finally, as Jesus did is the thing that we're looking at. We have great example to follow. 1 Peter 2:21 says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. I don't know whether you have read the book Any Steps, but it's a very beautiful book if you can put your hands on, or there's a film also, Any Steps. And we follow Christ in His steps. Now, Apostle Peter followed Him from far away. And he actually did not follow. He was not next to Jesus. And because of that, he got into real trouble. But Jesus says, follow Me. We are not perfect, but Jesus is. Others fail, but Jesus doesn't. Focus on Jesus, not the faults of others. In looking to Jesus, we can be victorious. And finally, the verse I would like to share with you is Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And I thought in closing I'll read once again the first verse of that song I read to you in the beginning. It says, I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I'll lean upon. This is my prayer, my humble plea. May the Lord be ever with me. Let us pray. Lord, You are always there when we need You. And even when we don't need You to deal with something, You are always there, guiding us, protecting us. And yet, You want us to follow in Your steps, Lord Jesus. You are the best example there is to follow. Help us to walk in the light, and You are the light. And if we walk in the light, we have no fear of anything, because You are always there. Father, I pray this morning for each one of us that You touch our hearts and lives, and help us to deal with things that we have not been able to deal with, or with things that we have doubts about. Help each one of us and strengthen us. In Your blessed name I pray, Amen.